Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Man, my goodness. I hope you grabbed your sermon notes. We're going to be baptizing people here in just a few minutes, but I want to go ahead and teach something that I feel like is necessary for us to get into as we're looking at He is what we're going to be talking about. And He is my banner. Many of you will know the story that we'll dive into for just a second. And I'm going to need a teenager as a volunteer. I'm going to need a teenager to help me out. And this teenager, all I want you to do is read. You're going to have to read some scriptures. I left my glasses at home. And when I was about to get angry, because I get angry when I can't find my glasses. I don't know about you. But I left my glasses at home, which means the Bible is harder for me to read. So I want a teenager to come read the verses. Who's going to be a courageous teenager? Middle schooler, high schooler, anybody want to read? Any teenager want to read? There's some high schoolers in here. Don't let them all punk out. Look, some of the high schoolers are like, yeah, they're all in there. They're all in there. I have no problem picking somebody, I promise you. I'm just giving you a chance to be courageous. Any high schooler or teenager? You have one? Who? Oh. Come on up, my man. What's your name?
Cannon.
What is it?
Cannon.
Cannon. Y'all about to get a cannon today. It's awesome. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit right there. And just sit right there in that, however you want to. You can sit right there. And all I want you to do, I want you listening, because we're going to get to my scripture here in just a minute. I want you listening like you're the smartest person in the room, okay? I want you to just listen. And then watch them, make sure they're listening. Okay? And if they're not listening, give them that look, man. Give them that look, Cannon. Hey, how old are you, Cannon? No, how old? 8 years old, because the middle schoolers and high schoolers couldn't stand up and do nothing for Jesus. We went to a younger generation. If you're sitting by a high schooler, tell them, why can't you be more like Cannon? All right. So look at your notes real quick. I want to talk to you about the banner. The first scripture you see is Song of Solomon. And I'm trying not to like go off and chase a rabbit and teach a bunch of stuff. But in the Song of Solomon, you see the scripture about being brought to his banqueting place. This place of like, it's almost like the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's being brought to the table to commune with the Lord. And it says, his banner over me is love. And Amplified talks about a waving overhead, a banner waving overhead to protect and comfort me. So it's this banner. It's a standard that's lifted up. And it's at this banqueting table in Song of Solomon. And you're recognizing like you're in this place. Like you, if you were eating in like the in the White House, you'd probably see the American flag. And that would be, that flag would be a reminder, we're in the White House and what it would represent and all that it would speak to. And so you're sitting there eating this meal, representing the authority that you're sitting under, because every banner describes an authority. I want you to get this. Every banner is about authority. And so the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs is about this intimacy that we should all have with the Lord, and we're coming to the table of the Lord, like communion table of the Lord, so to speak, and we're sitting here, and the banner over us, when we look up to see the authority of God in our life, the banner over us is, he loves me. You know why? Because love, perfect love, will cast out all fear. So one of the things you need to know if you want to learn about a banner is the banner over us is love. God loves me. Everything God does, when he's correcting me, when he's adjusting my life and he's speaking to me about things and he's correcting me, he's doing it in love. He will challenge me and confront me in love. Like Cannon, when your parents tell you to clean your room, they mean it in love. They mean it in love. Is your room clean, by the way? All right. Batting 1,000, bro. Batting 1,000. Good job. Keep this up. You'll be preaching next week, maybe. And so the reality is that you got to look at that. The banner over us is love. Because the enemy, almost like, this is so goofy, but the enemy, almost like a hijacking pirate ship, will come over and try to hijack you and raise up another banner. Like somebody from a foreign nation taking over the embassy of America and raising up another flag or another banner. So, or somebody invading the White House trying to lift up another authority. The enemy will try to lift up another authority in your life, but you have authority over that authority. In Christ, you have authority, and what you need to know, no, the banner over me is love. So when you're feeling fear, when you're feeling unloved, and you're feeling rejection, your feeling is not where the banner is. Your feeling is not your flagpole. Your spirit is. So you don't let your feelings drive you. Your feelings are not what drives you. They have a part in it and a place in it, but the core foundation of raising up this banner and raising up the standard of the Lord, this banner of the Lord, is he speaks love over me. Love, that means his love is over me. I am under the jurisdiction of his love. And as a believer in Christ, there is never a time. Never a time. I don't care what battle you're going through. I don't care what. There's never a time. No matter what they say, what they do, what you feel, what, no, there's never a time you are out from under the jurisdiction of his love. There are times you believe you are, and that's when you fail. Y'all doing it again. Y'all got to help a brother out. Y'all, either that didn't hit, or, so if that made sense and stuff, y'all need to say amen. Y'all go silent, like Jeff talked about the other day. It's like, I don't know if they're listening or whatever. You know, do something, grunt at least, you know, say something. And then Isaiah 59:19, it says, so they shall fear the name of the Lord. Notice how the banner of the Lord is connected to the name of the Lord. They shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That means there's time that I don't have time to teach all this. There's a whole nother, each one of these has a whole nother teaching to it. But what I want you to know is when you see the Spirit of the Lord raising up a banner or drawing attention to a banner that's raised up, it's like the Holy Spirit will intercede for us in ways that we don't know how to operate. He'll work and he'll start leading us in when we don't know what to do. And that's happening across our whole nation right now. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a banner about the name of the Lord. And when the name of the Lord is high and lifted up, I'm telling you, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. When you see the name of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, being lifted up, suddenly things just get into proper alignment. See, when he's lifted up, when the king is lifted up, idols are then seen for what they truly are. And it's like, why would I serve this when I'm under his banner? Doesn't make any sense. And now the illogical things that you've learned to live with, suddenly their lack of reasoning breaks forth. And by a spirit of wisdom and revelation, you see, why would I do this? Why have I done this? And why am I still thinking this way? The Lord is lifted up. And there are times where the Holy Spirit, and it's not that the Holy Spirit is lifting up the Lord like he's finally ascending to his throne. He's always been on the throne. But what's happening in a region or in a place or with the people is now the Holy Spirit is highlighting this. And when the enemy comes in like a flood from 2020 on, the Lord is raising up a standard. And that standard, his banner, the banner of the Lord, starts with the foundation of love. A lot of other groups and organizations lift up a banner, lift up something on their flagpole, lift it up, trying to say, look at my banner. Look at my cause. Look at my name. Look at my authority. Look at my tower. Look at my honor. And all these man-driven agencies, including politicians, raise up their banner. But as believers in Christ, our devotion and allegiance must be to Christ first. Tell your neighbor, his banner over me is love. All right, Exodus 17. Come on up, Cannon. Exodus 17. Now, I don't know who made all these marks in my Bible. Don't worry about it. All right, it's all good. So I want you to start in verse 8 right here. And if you can't pronounce a word, just do it by faith. And they don't know what it says either. Don't worry about it. And read from verse 8 right there all the way down to right there. You got it? You can do this. Hey, give me knuckles. You can do this. All right. Hang on. Do your parents read the Bible? No, never mind. Let's go ahead. Can you read it?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
No, Amargle came and found.
Now, Amalek, verse 8 is where we're starting. That's Amalek.
Amalek came and found with and fought with Israel and And Moses said to Joshua, "Clothe us some men and get out. Fight with a miracle. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Jerusalem did as Moses said, and him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So do I just start?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, keep going. You're doing great.
And the Israelites prevailed and went. When he let down his hand, I can't get that
word.
Amalek prevailed, but Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other one, the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book, the recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly bolt our remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." 16:4, he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
Good job, buddy. Good job. You can go sit down now. Mom and Dad, Cannon gets to go eat wherever he wants to eat after church today. No, you don't get to go eat wherever Cannon wants to eat. Cannon gets to eat. That's so, so good. So good. All right, so let me just go through a few things, and then we're gonna rip this up. Hopefully you've seen it's "The Lord is my banner," or through all the stuff that's happening, because it, right before this, what you see happening is this attack and this battle is happening at Rephidim, but the people were just asking, they were complaining to Moses. They were negative and critical. Do you know anybody who's negative and critical? Yeah, I know, they're rare. It's like a unicorn when you see them. They're rare people. But they were negative and critical and not trusting God. And so they were confronting and complaining against Moses. And then the question that they were asking right before the verse that he started in verse 8 was, "Is God among us or not?" So that's the question that was happening. Is God among us or not? Because critical thinking, negative thinking, self-centered and selfish thinking will blind you from the presence of God to make you think he's not there, and you won't see the banner because you've already lifted up something else in front of it, and you won't see what God is doing, and you'll think and conclude he's not doing anything. So the thing you're doing will blind you from the thing God's doing. And then you start complaining and criticizing of why everybody else needs to get their life straight when it really is about somebody else. And so that's the question that happened. Is God really among us? Is God really among us? And so what happens is they're in this place, and if you look on your notes real quick, Rephidim, that word, that name, a lot of Hebrew scholars believe that name speaks to this. It's a place of rest. So here's what you need to know. The enemy will challenge your place of rest. And see, your place of rest should be the place where you know God's among you. Should be the place where you remind yourself that I am the Lord's and the Lord is mine. That his banner over me is love. And when the enemy comes in, he's going to raise up a standard. See, a place of rest doesn't mean that there's not battles and stuff. It doesn't mean taking a nap all day. It means you're standing in the finished work of Christ. What he finished for you. What he provided for you. So you're never without. You're never in lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. So I'm never in lack. I'm never in want. I'm always, he's my provision. He's my supply, which means my provision and my supply and my protection is eternal. It's eternal. And so you're in this place of rest. The enemy comes to attack because of criticizing and complaining and all that kind of stuff. So Rephidim is a place of rest, and Amalek, most people believe that the name Amalek, because there's Amalek who's a descendant of Esau, and there's a whole nother series connected to this guy's lineage. Whole nother series about it that goes from Esau, you know, to then how they attacked the children of Israel through what was that king's name that they attacked? Agag, and what they would do when they attacked the children of Israel that were making their way from Egypt to the promised land, what Agag did and what the Amalekites ended up doing is they came and they would pick off the weak. They would wait, they would ambush, and they would go and pick off the elderly and pick off the weak and pick off those who were going slower and maybe had some injury or whatever. And then sometimes when the Israelites planted crops, the Amalekites would end up coming in, and in the nighttime, they would dig up their crops. So this is an enemy that is at work, taking off the weak, taking off the elderly, taking off all those, you know, in different capacities, and then undermining the seeds that you're sowing. And so, but you can summarize all of that, because it goes really from like Esau all the way to Haman in the story of Esther. Haman was an Amalekite. And so, and there's lots of stuff in between, but the thing I want you to see is there's some Jewish tradition and rabbis and different scholars that agree with this too, because the numerical value of the word Amalek is, I think, like 240, I think it is. So Hebrew words also have a numeric value. Like we have ABC or 123. In Hebrew, Hebrew letters and words have a numeric value. And so what they say is prophetically what Amalek speaks to is doubt, the enemy of doubt or double-mindedness, because the numeric value of Amalek is the same numeric value as doubt. And that the enemy that fights the people of God all through, even in our life, is doubt. The enemy of doubt that comes in many different forms, doubt and double-mindedness. And so what I want you to see when you look at this, and we're going to talk about the banner here in a second, that Rephidim is a place of rest, and Amalek comes to make you doubt the rest that God provided for you. Amalek comes to make you doubt the finished work that God did in your life. Because every work that you start was already finished before you started it. You're not doing anything new. You're simply doing what Jesus already did for you, and now you're letting him do it through you. That's that place of rest. That's that place of God is ruling and reigning in my life. The banner over my rest is love. And I'm at work, but I'm not working for love. I'm working from love. I'm not working for rest. I'm working in rest. And so this huge thing that's happening, that this enemy of doubt is what is being destroyed. And if you look on the next page, you see the rod. What happened is Moses gave the rod to Joshua. I mean, Moses kept the rod for himself and gave the sword to Joshua. So the rod, Rick Clendenner would always teach me that the rod represents the authority of God. The rod of God represents the authority of God. But the sword represents the power of God. You say, well, what's the difference? Authority is the right to rule. Power is the might to rule. Authority is this. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given unto me. This is the resurrected Jesus. All authority has been given unto me, therefore go. So he's delegating the authority. He has the authority and he's delegating it to us to fulfill the Great Commission, to finish the assignment and walk out this assignment that he has called us to and empowered us to. And all authority has been, so if Jesus has all authority, how much authority does the devil have? Unless you give it to him. Unless you let another banner fly higher than the Lord's in your life. And then there's three kinds of ministry that's represented in this whole thing. You see Moses up on the mountaintop and his hands are up. And some scholars debate about were his hands up like this or were his hands out like this. Some debate about what which way it was, and there's some that say it was like this, which was prophetically symbolic of the cross of Christ, that Christ did that. And what they say is when you would see Moses, when the Israelites fighting with Joshua in the valley, and they had the sword in their hand in the valley, and they looked up and they saw Moses, their leader, the one with authority, and his hands lifted out like this in prayer, what they saw prophetically was the victory of the cross, the victory of Christ. Because some of the young Joshua people, some of the young millennials in Joshua's group thought they were winning the battle because of the sword. They thought they were Zorro and they're winning because of them. Look at what we're doing, and have no idea that the reason why they're winning is because there's a JT Parrish and other people standing with their hands up, praying over them before they ever had a sword. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to you is for you to think you're somebody. Because when you think you're somebody, you're taking that glory away from God. And it's dangerous to inflate yourself and deflate God. And the Israelites are down there with the sword, defeating the enemy, because Moses is up there praying. And see, what they said, that the scholars talk about this, they said that what he looked like was like a military banner. It was like a flag being raised. And I, you know, I have a little insight to this because I'm a highly trained military professional. So I got some insight to this. So the reality is, in the military, in any kind of thing that has authority and order and that kind of stuff, you have these banners that are lifted up, and they're actually signals. You can actually give signals. Certain flags have certain colors and certain things, and they're signals, and it's all about victory. When Moses said, "The Lord is my banner," he created this altar and said, "The Lord is my banner." What he's saying at this place of sacrifice, because that's what an altar is, a place of sacrifice, he's saying that the Lord is my banner, but he was participating in this thing, lifting up his own hands. So literally his hands and himself becomes a banner under the banner. And what would happen in military movements is when there was a mountain or a hill or a housetop, whatever, they would visually send these signals. The original one at base camp would send one, and they would raise up a certain color. So you'd see a banner and then raise up a banner. And then somebody else would see that banner, and they'd raise up another banner. So the communication was passed through of knowing how to fight the enemy, or knowing the victory, and the final banner that would be raised is victory. And so victory would then be raised, and then all the banners would be raised. So Moses, what I want you to see is Moses is standing up as a banner, interceding and praying over that which he's responsible for. Praying to who's he praying, in a sense, to who he is responsible to. He's not saying, "Oh God, please let us get victory. Oh please, God, if you love us, please let us get victory." He's saying, "God, you are my victory. You are my victory. And I'm not begging you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm agreeing with what you've already done. And you called us out of Egypt and said we'd be victorious and possess this land. So this battle is an irritation, but we've already won. And so I'm not saying, oh God, please deliver us. I don't even know if you want to, but God, please deliver us." That's not what prayer is. Prayer is saying, "God, you are my deliverer. Your victory over me, your banner over me is love. And you called us from there to there, and we have victory. And today I recognize we're in a battle, but I do not let the temporary battle blind me from the eternal victory we already have." So what I do on the day of battle, what I do on the day of struggle, is I lift up my banner. I lift up my banner, and I lift up my hands in intercession and worship, and I lift up my banner, not saying, "Oh God, please deliver us." God, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you that you are at work. I thank you that you saw the enemy coming in, and the Holy Spirit is raising up a banner, and I'm raising up a banner to come into agreement with your finished work, and I'm saying, "You reign. You reign over my life. You reign over my family. You reign over these swords of the next generation. You reign over this," and I lift up my rod of God and the authority that he's given me over me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my family, I'm gonna honor you, God, and I'm gonna bless you. And it doesn't mean everything's right. There could be a lot wrong. But just because stuff's wrong, if it's wrong there, don't get it wrong here. Keep it right here. And begin to bless him and lift it up. And Lord, you are my banner, and your banner over me is love. And you are Jehovah Nissi, which means you're my banner. And what that means is you are my victory. You are my victory. And as a believer in Christ, we are never defeated. We are never defeated. You say, "How is that possible? I have a loved one that died. I have a loved one that, how is it possible?" Well, death does not defeat a believer. J.T. Parrish is not walking in death. He's walking in life. And if you have a loved one that has gone to be with the Lord because of their relationship with the Lord, they have victory right now. So don't let the enemy tell you you're defeated. Man, there's so much more I want to say about this. Worship team, come up just to give me a chance to close this thing. It's hands up, and then you see hands under the support role, and then you see hands on. You need all three dimensions in your life. You need to be an intercessor. You need to be praying over you and over your family and over all the place you work, your school, your friends. You need to be lifting up your hands. One of the greatest privileges I have, and I do it all the time, not necessarily every day, but I do it every week, no question, and sometimes multiple times a day, I lift up my hands as Moses did on the mountain, as Jesus did on the Mount of Olives when he lifted his hands and blessed his disciples before he was ascended. I lift my hands and declare the victory of the Lord over your life. So that when you're out there doing your business deals or you're out there doing stuff in the workplace or doing whatever and you think, wow, I'm really good with a sword. It ain't just you. You lift up in praise. You lift up your hands in praise. And so you need to have that ministry happening in your life, a hands-up ministry. Because you know what it is? You're lifting the banner of the Lord. You're lifting the banner of the Lord. And then you need to support other people to keep their, when they get weary and tired, keep your banner up. Keep praising the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then you need to learn to delegate ministry and delegate stuff to people with a sword. Like, you know what? You've been created to fight a battle, so go fight that battle. And when you're fighting that battle, you're not alone. And so we need all three dimensions in our life. And you see in 1 Timothy, I wrote the scripture right there for you to see it. I want men everywhere. I desire men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger, without wrath, without arguing, without all that kind of stuff, and without doubt. So what it means is I want to be a person who lifts up these hands in worship without doubt, without fear, and without anger. That means I do it. I praise the Lord. And what do I have in the middle of my mind, in the middle of my heart, and in my vision is the victory of the Lord. What do I have? What's my predominant focus in the middle of the battle? The victory of the Lord. Because what they do or what that she said or what she does or what he did or what they did or even what I do does not change who he is. He's the Lord. And so everyone who's going to be baptized today, what I want you to understand is you have every right to begin to lift your hands over your own life and begin to praise him. And begin to say, Lord, I will live the rest of my life from a place of victory, never for it. And you're a priest of God. You're a priest of God. That's why the Bible teaches us to have uplifted hands, to begin to lift your banner up and praise the Lord. The Lord is my banner. He is my victory. In the middle of your battle, will you praise the Lord? Will you praise the Lord? Matter of fact, those who are going to be baptized, go ahead and come on up here.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.